was thinking a appropriate to the theme of this retreat, along with the initiation, to speak about spiritual master and disciple relationship. In any relationship, there's an exchange. And in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34, Krishna describes something, some essential components of that relationship from the side of inquiring disciple. There's submission, inquiry and service. And from the spiritual master's side, there's the awakening of transcendental knowledge. And that transcendental knowledge doesn't just mean information. It means one's relationship with Krishna. That's transcendental knowledge. In his Tattva Sandarbha, in Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami describes this relationship in the process of initiation, where same understanding is presented in the relationship of spiritual master and disciple. This exchange is there, where from the spiritual master's side, transcendental knowledge, divyam jnanam tato dadyat kuryat papasya sangshaya. These two things, sinful papa, sinful reactions, are eradicated, sangshaya, beyond a doubt, and transcendental knowledge is awakened. In some of the translations that Prabhupada gave of that verse, the rest of the verse is describing that's what the process of diksha is. Tasmat dikshati sa prokta deshikais tatva kovidai. Tatva kovida, those who are learned in the truth, deshika, they have realization of transcendental knowledge. They've explained what we were doing here, diksha. It's the awakening of transcendental knowledge and the elimination of past sinful activities. But we think of, commonly at least, we think of initiation as an event. But there are most of the translations, a number of the translations Prabhupada has given, he expresses it's gradually. That's good news. Provided the same spirit of initiation is followed, that is, pranipat, prashna, and seva. It's a gradual process of submission, inquiry, and service for the rest of one's life. And gradually that awakening of transcendental knowledge takes place by that act of submission. It's not exactly the act of submission is the cause and the other is the result. Like a vending machine. It's not cause, result, mechanical. It's an exchange. It's a relationship. And the relationship is in particular with the place where one is presenting that submission. That's the using Prabhupada's language, the current link. But the current link is but part of a long link or a long chain. Many links making a chain. And the chain of disciplic succession has its merit and its efficacy because of being connected to Krishna. Unbroken chain with many links. So the awakening of transcendental knowledge is something that Krishna does. So be very explicit. Who is the deliverer of the conditioned soul? Is it the person who is representing Krishna, or is it Krishna? Well, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Lord Nityananda, it's the personality of Godhead. If you ask Lord Chaitanya, it's Lord Nityananda. So, whether you're a Nityananda fan or a Chaitanya fan, take your pick. After the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a very lively disagreement between the two lords. And it's a transcendental disagreement. It's allowed in spiritual life, where Lord Chaitanya was appreciating the magnanimity, the compassion of Lord Nityananda, in that Lord Nityananda, you've delivered Jagai and Madhai. And Lord Nityananda was not agreeing with him. You have delivered Jagai and Madhai. I simply came out as you instructed me and asked them to take the holy name. And look, now they're taking the holy name. You have delivered them. You're the most munificent. And back and forth. So within the heart of the disciple, they're in this guru-disciple relationship, they're very grateful to those who have given them Krishna consciousness. And so personal acknowledgement goes there. In that personal acknowledgement, it should be also understood by the disciple, it's not this person, it's Krishna. This person, whatever effectiveness, whatever anything that person has, it's Krishna. And in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if some credit goes to the persons who are in this role of whatever it's called, an authorized initiating guru in ISKCON, it's not as Srila Prabhupada. It's just an instrument, some agent. You got a contract, a license from Srila Prabhupada to perform this service. I better not violate that contract. Just the merciful nature of our founder Acharya and the inconceivable potency for delivering souls. Empowering persons to do all types of things. One of the, just as an example that comes to mind on this, every year at our Festival of Inspiration in New Vrindavan, it's become an annual tradition that we invite Peter Burwash. And Peter Burwash is not an initiated devotee. He chants Hare Krishna, but his life is completely fixed upon Srila Prabhupada. He came and shared with me just before, because he wanted me to give him some critique on what he's doing, because he may be speaking at our GBC meeting in Bombay that's coming up soon, early June. So, you know, critique what I'm doing so I can get your feedback. You're the, our GBC chairman. You know, what would be good for the GBC out of, you know, the whole presentation? Because I spend 364 days of the year preparing. I said every day I set aside time and I invest thought in how to make this presentation at the Festival of Inspiration. And, you know, he clocks in his time as he gets more towards the presentation time, a few hours every day. You know, for a busy person, that's a lot. It's a lot. And he's a busy person. But the inspiration was 2 hours spent with Srila Prabhupada, primarily. There were some other exchanges, which he narrates regularly, but 2 hours where Prabhupada was explaining to him how he could make his life and his career Krishna conscious. And he gave him an instruction. I mean, a number of instructions, but one of them was teach people to become vegetarian as a, you know, beginning stage. And he takes it. That's just a beginning stage. That's not Krishna consciousness, but it's a beginning stage, and it can help people become ready to accept Krishna consciousness when they meet a devotee. It'll just make it easier for them. Some book distributor or something like that. The point is, his life has been molded around Prabhupada's instructions, how to run his business. The introductory remark that Jai Sri Mataji made when she was, because she's become his secretary, was that there are many businesses that are suffering and decreasing, diminishing, and laying off workers. But his business is one that in the past year has increased by 10%, the number of workers that they're hiring. And it's always been on the increase. Because, and it's simply, I mean, he has rules where anyone, if anyone is found to eat meat or drink alcohol, there's no second. If it's verified, they're fired. I mean, that's not Krishna consciousness, but it's strict for modern standards and other kinds of things, without going through. But his life has been molded around Srila Prabhupada's association. That's significant. He's a lecturer to Fortune 500 companies all over the world. He's lecturing publicly about, you know, 320 days of the year and racks up a lot of miles traveling to do all that. So, by association with Srila Prabhupada, his life became completely changed. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is that. Where we are right now in Gita Nagari, it wouldn't exist except for Srila Prabhupada. I mean, farmland would be here, but it wouldn't be a place where Radha Damodar are presiding, and a wonderful temple room, and a vision of what Prabhupada wanted Gita Nagari to become. And so many other things that we're like children that have inherited the property of the Father. We have temples all over the place. That's just the fruit of Prabhupada walking on the surface of this earth, being who he was, doing what he did. We're totally indebted. So anything that we may do that has some merit or value at all is Prabhupada's mercy. And of course, he wouldn't take credit for that mercy. He would take the mercy of his spiritual master, and so on, disciplic succession. But it's the relationship of spiritual master and disciple is this, it's this intimate relation with Krishna. It draws one into that relationship with Krishna. And in fact, the scriptural injunction is, Krishna himself says, the spiritual master should be seen as my very self. Not like, you know, In a minute, I'm going to get my flute out. Call the cows. But the representative should be seen as one sees the person who the representative is representing, provided certainly that that representative is transparently representing. But that's how one should see. As my very self, not just a representative of my very self, but should be seen as my very self with that same regard and respect. And that's a matter in the course of the classes that we've had these discussions. There have been some after class discussions on this, some of the same themes, the theme of opening the heart or acting from the heart that we've been using, and people are recognizing, I really don't do that. How can I do that? Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschitya deshatari. It's not just in India that impersonalism came out. It's in the, all over the world, and specifically our prana mantra, one of our prana mantras to Srila Prabhupada is that Prabhupada came to deliver the Western countries which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. But you know, now it's homogenized, it's all over the world. Impersonalism and voidism, where even we're in relationships with people, we don't really have a relationship with those people. Honestly, I've had three people describe that very thing. It's, even in their marriage, it's not a real relationship, or hasn't been, and by the process of very careful training, they're realizing, whoops, I haven't really been in a relationship with my wife or my husband, and I need to do that, because that's part of Krishna consciousness, is loving relationships. So, receiving that which the spiritual master wants to give, and as representative of disciplic succession, the function is to awaken one's relationship with Krishna. There's another very nice verse appropriate for the weekend theme. Tasmat guru prapadyita jigyasu shreya uttama shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashamashrayam. Prabhupada quoted that verse and a couple of other verses regularly when speaking on the topic of spiritual master and disciple relationship. The verse indicates that when that time comes, when there is the soul becomes inquisitive, jigyasu, shreya uttama, of their ultimate benefit, that what that ultimate benefit, they may not even know, but ultimate benefit. And when the knowing starts, then it's relationship with Krishna. It could get, you know, downstream, knowing God or seeking, finding God or something, but relationship with Krishna very specifically. Because God is a person. And relationship with Krishna. Inquiring about one's relationship with Krishna. When that stage of evolution for the soul's consciousness comes, tasmat guru prapadyeta. That's the solution or the provision by Krishna for receiving the answer to that inquisitiveness. How do I come to that position of reawakening my relationship with Krishna? And shabde pare chanishnatam. Got a chorus.
Yeah.
Haribo, Haribo. In the first evening, the topic was that I chose to speak about was loving relationships can begin when one receives that which is in fact an outpouring of loving exchange. And we spoke that sometimes people are reluctant to do that because they're not so trusting. They've been cheated. They've been misled. They've been exploited. Or they just don't even know what a loving relationship is because they never saw one before. They don't even know what to do with it. So there's a matter that in the spiritual master-disciple relationship Prabhupada speaks about, and that is understanding who is a qualified spiritual master. I've shared this before, but one lecture I was attending, Prabhupada was describing the necessity of having a spiritual master. And right in the middle of the lecture, it was going on, and someone just blurted out, "Swamiji, how do you know who is a qualified spiritual master?" Because he was using that adjective, qualified spiritual master. So Prabhupada stopped the lecture and just entertained the individual and expressed that it's the duty of the disciple to have that preliminary knowledge. Then he gave an example. If you go to the marketplace to buy a diamond, if you don't know what is a diamond, likely you'll get cheated. Someone will sell you something that's not a diamond and tell you, see how sparkling this diamond is. And I'll only charge you a discount price of something. And it's not a diamond. It's cut glass. Or these days it's plastic. But not a diamond. So go to the marketplace. It's your responsibility. Preliminary knowledge. What's a diamond? I remember after Tamal Krishna Maharaj's departure from this world, one of his disciples was describing how Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always on such a high level of Krishna consciousness, but one of his disciples' appreciation was he was at the same time streetwise. He gave the example one time they went to buy a watch. It was in the Brooklyn Temple. So they went to a watch shop and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asking, "I want one that has a crystal, not glass, covering the watch." And the man said, "Oh, this one is crystal." So Tamal Krishna Maharaj looked at the man right in the eye and held the watch on the counter top, which was glass, and said, "So if this is crystal, it means if I move the crystal across the glass will cut, not the watch, right?" And the man said, "Yeah, right." So then he slowly moved and cut the glass. He said, "Okay, it's crystal, I'll take it." Because he grew up in New York. Wow, of course. So, now I forget why I told that story. Huh?
One should have some preliminary understanding.
Yeah, preliminary understanding of what a thing is. So, preliminary understanding of what a spiritual master is, and it's the duty, it's right in Nectar of Instruction, that is the duty of the disciple to evaluate the spiritual master, the duty of the spiritual master to evaluate the disciple. It's not just a matter of, like some people ask, that live remote places, Some places they're not even so remote. They ask, what's the procedure in ISKCON for initiation? Because I heard it's just, you know, you chant 16 rounds for 6 months and say Prabhupada's name. Then you pick a spiritual master another 6 months and you're initiated. Is that how it works? Doesn't seem right. And that's right, it doesn't seem right. There must be training and qualifying and examining. Both sides. The GBC deliberations on this topic of how to consider assisting the prospective disciples to take responsibility. Not like there's a menu and you pick from the menu. I think I want that one. But how do you, what's the procedure? How do you evaluate the spiritual master by scriptural criterion? And vice versa, how does the spiritual master evaluate the disciple? Not just because they say yes every time, but there's qualities. Krishna accepted Arjuna as the person he wanted to speak Bhagavad Gita to. Even Arjuna was saying, you know, I don't understand what you're saying, but it seems like you're saying contradictory things. That might be insulting to say like that to Krishna. But Krishna's not saying contradictory things. Anyway, so the spirit of inquisitiveness should be combined with a proper understanding of by what measure should you evaluate. Both. That's Krishna Das. Every class he's got to do that. At least once. So, it's got a lot of no's there too. Yeah. It's one of his favorite words. No. Okay. Trainings and qualification, coming to the stage where one actually has the qualification to be able to represent the disciplic succession nicely, which means some of these other things that we were speaking of before, where there's, as Prahlad Maharaj, Narada had, submission, obedience, control of the senses. Krishna's Das has got a little work to do. Control of the senses. Then one can be in a position where one can properly evaluate. And then, yes, when there is someone worthy of trust, then you can receive. It overcomes the difficulties of past stuff and doubt and uncertainty. When there's actually, in Lord Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti, Sankhya philosophy, so this is like heavy stuff, when he describes the manifesting of intelligence out of pradan, intelligence separates out, that gives the characteristics of intelligence. And one of the characteristics of intelligence is doubt. But Prabhupada qualifies that doubt is appropriate until the subject is clearly understood. And when the subject is clearly understood and the truth is presented, to continue to doubt is not a sign of intelligence. It's the absence of intelligence or stubbornness. But examining scrutinizingly is a good sign. And when there is some merit, shabde parecha nishnatam, here's a person where the words that they speak are simply from the authoritative scripture. and not only is from the authoritative scripture, but when I have some doubt and I raise that doubt becomes removed. They have that qualification, not only to know, but to teach that which they know, to the point where the doubts in one's heart is removed. And Brahmani Upashamashrayam, where the worldly things are no longer part of that individual's life. They have no longer any interest in worldly things. They have interest in Krishna-related things, or the service of Krishna's devotees. That interest. That's the spiritual master and disciple relationship. When seeing those scripturally determined criterion with careful examination, then taking shelter. Tadviti pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. And as that continues or is nurtured over time, that brings one to this stage, to the stage of initiation, where gradually, from that position going forward, gradually, transcendental knowledge that's already within the heart awakens into a more mature stage. And in that transcendental knowledge stage, one can see things as they are instead of seeing things by our material conditioning. And those forces that are binding one to unnecessary suffering conditions of life due to past misdeeds, they're eradicated. Of course, one can describe like that even with the process of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. But the process of hearing is then fructified in that relationship from whom one is hearing. And the submission and the receiving of the wonderful gifts of transcendental realization in that within that the context of that relationship. So this is a very nice event, worthy of Ekalavya's musical accompaniment and the banging of the pots and the calling of the peacocks and the crying of Krishna Das and everything. It's a grand festival. And if I may do so, I want to thank Mother Kalini for coming and joining us. She's had a very serious health condition and really wanted to come, and we wanted her to come, and somehow she was able to make it. So I'm very happy we can be here and dance and chant and be here with you for the pleasure of Radha Damodar. If Mother Kalini wasn't embarrassed, now she is. Look at how red she is. My goodness. So, there's Harinam Diksha and Brahma Gayatri Diksha, both taking place. The chanting of the holy name is our means of deliverance, means of achieving our ultimate goal. And the chanting of the holy name should be taken up very, very diligently and seriously. And because I've taken so much time, I just invite you all to come back to Gita Nagari and during the Labor Day weekend for our Japa retreat. We'll speak more about chanting very nicely, going more deeply into the chanting of the holy name. You all are invited. Not only they can come. And join the kirtan again and see Radha Damodar, and hopefully Mother Kalini will come again. And Ekalavya will bring his trumpet. And so we'll do the vows part now. Yeah. Neck beats haven't been done? Okay. Some assistance with neck beats if it hasn't been done yet. Huh? Oh, yeah. Little technical difficulty. There's a set of beads that are missing.
No, the car's not locked. I can give you my beads. That'd be fun.
Okay. Rajesh and Sushma, come go over to Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan and pay obeisances. Both of you, please. First, Rajesh, our standard vows. Are there extra set of beads somewhere?
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry for the confusion. The vows are, you're following the four regular principles. Can you recite what those four regular principles are?
No intoxication, no meditating, no gambling, no illicit sex.
Okay. And you're chanting of how many rounds on these beads every day?
Minimum 16.
Minimum 16. Okay. And Srila Prabhupada and his teachings will be very carefully followed for the rest of your life, yes? Very nice. The initiated name is Radharaman Das. No explanation required. Radharaman is the deity. Radharaman was worshipped by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Radharaman is a self-manifesting deity from Shalagram. So when you go to Vrindavan, make sure you visit Radharaman temple. Okay, the four rules that you'll follow?
No meditation, no intoxication, no illicit sex pleasure, no gambling.
Okay, and how many rounds you'll chant every day? Really? Okay. More than 16. 20. Minimum 16, at least. Okay. And you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings carefully the rest of your life. Yes? Very good. The initiated name is Shraddha Devi Dasi.
Hare Krishna!
Mother Clinton feels better now.
Shraddha Devi Mataji ki
Jai!
Shraddha, Aaron and Ileana, you can go pay obeisances before Prabhupada. Shraddha means faith, and according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, faith is what bhakti is. Or another way of describing the stages of bhakti is stages of maturing of faith from preliminary all the way to prema, bhakti. So you're the servant of Shraddha. And follow carefully in a faithful manner. And you reach Krishna. Okay, the four rules that you'll follow?
No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no meditation.
Good. And on your beads you'll chant how many rounds each day?
At least 60.
Okay. And you like Prabhupada's teachings. We've examined them together very carefully. And you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teaching carefully, yes? The rest of your life. Very good. Your initiated name is Ashraya Das. Wait till the trumpeter hears your name. Ashraya means shelter. So one who is seeking shelter of the object of shelter, or Vishaya, Krishna. So this cultivate this propensity for always taking shelter. Shelter, ashraya can also indicate the jiva, whose position is always the servant of the supreme ashraya, Vishaya, the enjoyer, the master. So, mood of service in a Krishna conscious way.
Yeah.
Go. You're excited. You're nervous. You're happy. Okay. The four rules that you'll follow?
No gambling, no intoxication, no success.
She's nervous. Do it again. Take it from the top.
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication.
There you got it. Okay. And you'll chant how many rounds on these nice beads here?
At least 16.
Okay. And along with your wonderful husband, Prabhupada's teachings will guide your life for the rest of your life, yes? I'm confident in that. Your initiated name is Hladini Shakti Dasi. Iliana has become Hladini Shakti. Much nicer sounding. Meaning, it sounds nice, sounds similar, but the meaning is special. Lokesh. Each of these devotees receiving their first initiation, they're from Chicago, and they've been very, very carefully trained over years in all aspects of their life, and a very bright future is ahead of them in serving. They all want to live very close to the temple so they can do service at the temple and for the deities, deity worship, as well as the second initiates. So it's very nice. For those of you that are not from Chicago, it has less meaning. Those that are from Chicago, it's years and years of training in Krishna consciousness. So it's especially meaningful for the Chicago busload that came here. Okay, four rules that you follow?
No one is at sex, no gambling, no nudity, and no intoxication.
Okay, and you'll chant how many rounds on your beads every day? Okay. And Srila Prabhupada's teachings are your favorite teachings. And you'll follow them very, very carefully, yeah? Okay. Initiated name is Goloka Das. Welcome to the spiritual world.